From St. Mark's Episcopal Church in Houston, Texas, a joyful Christian community, this is Soulful Sundays, a weekly podcast of our 5 o'clock service. I'm Patrick Miller, director of St. Mark's. Welcome.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ according to Matthew. On the Mount of Olives, Jesus said to his disciples privately about his coming, "But about that day and hour no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away, so too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field, and one will be taken, and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together, and one will be taken, and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour." The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. As I entered my hotel room, a sign on the dresser caught my attention. "Beware of monkeys roaming about in wanton abandon. Keep your windows closed to ensure your food, valuables, and other things are safe." I chuckled at this message, and I joked about it with friends and family by text. But before I went to bed, I checked the latches on the doors and windows. This was just last week in Sri Lanka, where I was on pilgrimage with Episcopal Relief and Development. The next morning at breakfast, I heard that a friend's banana and orange had disappeared from the table in her room while she was sleeping. Today's gospel is like that warning sign in my hotel room. Be watchful, be alert. Not for monkeys on the loose, but for something with existential importance. The second coming of Christ. Watching, waiting, preparing, and hope-filled expectation of Christ's coming is, of course, the theme of Advent. We prepare to celebrate the coming of Christ at Christmas, or even the decorations all over town hint at that. But as the gospel passage illustrates, Advent includes a call to watchfulness and vigilance. The reference to Noah and the flood and those who were caught unaware signals a warning to us. Advent is hope-filled and urges a sincere soul-searching that makes us ready to receive the Holy One with joy today, tomorrow, and at our end, whenever that may be. Be watchful, be alert, for the good news is that the God who loves us returns. The question is, how do we prepare for that? This section of the Gospel of Matthew is dense with teachings about watchfulness, preparedness, and the great judgment, all connected, all urging us toward faithfulness and preparedness for Christ's return. A well-known parable within Matthew 25 provides particular focus and instruction for understanding today's gospel lesson. At the great judgment, the king will say to those at his right hand, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Truly, I tell you, just as you did it to the one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me." So, it turns out, attending to and caring for one another is not only being the body of Christ in the world, but it is also preparation for Christ's return. Living together in intentionality toward loving our neighbors and caring for the vulnerable is both how we are to live and how we are to prepare. And to be clear, this is not about earning one's way or achievement that meets admission standards. Living in grace-filled, hope-filled expectation of Christ's presence leads to faithful responses in community. Unfortunately, Americans are a bit rusty at doing community. I was reminded of this during my Episcopal Relief and Development pilgrimage in Sri Lanka. My first realization was during an excursion to a national park. Scores of jeeps were carrying tourists out to see elephants and other wildlife. It had recently rained and the paths were muddy. As we made our way through the park, we spotted a jeep stuck in the mud on a parallel path many, many yards away. Other jeeps had stopped, and all were watching the futile attempts of the driver to get his jeep unstuck. Then, suddenly, all of the drivers of all the other jeeps got out of their vehicles and went to help. There were so many drivers that some just stood by because there were more than needed to help. Everyone stayed until the jeep was unstuck, which actually didn't take long. My fellow pilgrims and I noted what a remarkable show of solidarity it was and wondered how the situation would have played out in our own culture, where attitudes often range from an aloof, "I can't be bothered," to the callous, "It sucks to be you." And we admitted we were not above all that, as we all confessed that the desire not to stop had crept into all of our minds. The Jeep driver showed us what it looks like to say, "We're all in this together. If you're in trouble, I will help you." It's a powerful example of how we are to live, and by living this way, as Matthew 25 informs us, we prepare for Christ's return. Another example was the witness of a woman's financial savings group. Episcopal Relief and Development funds the training and equipping of women to form and lead financial savings groups in their communities. We were able to observe a well-run group meeting. All the women paid in their weekly savings to the group bank, and then discussed loan requests made by two members. The group made their decisions based on urgency of need and timing. They strategized on how they could help both women receive what they needed. Binding together in this way allows them to operate outside of the predatory loan industry, which creates desperate indebtedness. So desperate that suicide rates have risen to crisis levels there. You see, this is such an important program. And just when I thought their meeting was over, the next item on the agenda was to decide their weekly project and service to their village. Again, they discussed the needs of the village and decided what their response would be. Another powerful example of how we are to live, and in living this way, preparing for Christ's return. Community is central to our faith, and community is central to Advent. When Christ returns and our lives are judged, the question will not be some sort of purity test, did you believe all the right beliefs, but instead, did you love your neighbor? Jesus taught us to love God and love neighbor. There are many ways to love your neighbor, but there is only one way to love God, and that is to love your neighbor. So, my friends, take note of the sign that is Advent. Be watchful, be alert, be intentional. Casting away the works of darkness and putting on the armor of light is a consistent commitment to living our faith and values in community. For this is where the Holy Spirit continues to percolate God's kingdom, to fill us with hope and love for our neighbors. Keep awake. Prepare for the return of God who loves us and this world so much. Amen.
This episode was produced by St. Mark's Episcopal Church in Houston, Texas. Special thanks to our band, led by Cameron Deason-Hammond, and featuring Jeremy Nuncio, Asher Pudlow, and Andrew Gordon. Join us every Sunday for Soulful Sundays at 5 p.m. at St. Mark's, 3816 Bel Air Boulevard in Houston, Texas, or visit us online at stmarks-houston.org.